thought for today. An emotionally sick person avoids reality at any cost. An emotionally healthy person faces reality at any cost. An emotionally sick person avoids reality at any cost. An emotionally healthy being faces reality at any cost. That seems a pretty powerful statement. It has a lot of ramifications to it, a lot of negative possibilities to it, and a lot of positive possibilities to it. When a person is emotionally sick, he avoids reality. He goes around saying, I'm Jesus. He goes around saying, I'm the master. He goes around saying, I'm better than you are. He goes around saying all sorts of things like that. And when he does that, he merely puts on a show to indicate that he is not really a sound person. Now, we know that everyone was Jesus because we're all one in the universal allness of all. But we are not the particularized individualization of Jesus. We could be, but we are not. Now, how do I know we're not? I don't. I just say everybody can't make that claim because everyone's not willing to take the responsibility that he took. No. An emotionally sick person avoids reality. They want to be like on the movie, they had Virginia, who had many beings inside of herself expressing themselves. And they had psychic energies showing where the young boy had entities that entered his body and he became very violent and very powerful and could do things that he couldn't do otherwise. Well, now, we know that you take four little old ladies with no energy at all and have them with their pinky lift up a car, lift up a guy sitting on a chair, do things like that. How can they do that? Where do they get the strength from to do that? Where is this boy who has this psychic energy that's entering into him and using amazing strength, amazing feats of power? Where does it come from? Now, where it comes from is that everyone is God. And everyone has all the power of the universe in them. Everyone can do anything they want to do if they want to do it. Now, we feel if we are little, we can't talk. If we are of a certain age, we have to learn because we don't know anything. We're told this. We're told this. And certain sicknesses are going to come along and take us. We're told this. You have to expect that. And poverty and wealth, those are things that you haven't got much control over. It just happens to you. And it's a chance and luck, you know, those two wonderful words. And it's fate. Fate and chance and luck and destiny. All those wonderful words which take it off of our shoulders and say that it's not our fault, but it's the fault of outside force that is manipulating our life. Now, an emotionally sick person avoids reality at any cost. They will say it's the outside force. They will say it's something that is not. Well, gee, I know a lot of people who are not emotionally sick who say that. Well, yes, that's true. They're emotionally sick, too. Yeah? An emotionally healthy being faces reality at any cost. They stand up for principle. They can stand up for the invisible, for something that they cannot see, they do not know physically, they cannot say objectively, this is a knife here I have in my hand, and they cannot say, this is a spoon I have in my hand. You can't see it. But they know that spoon is there because they have created it there. Now you say, well, that's logic has lost me there. Well, the divine is neither logical nor reasonable. We have come to study that and understand that a little bit, but the divine is not logical or reasonable. Why are so many sands on the seashore? Why are there so many stars in the sky? Why are there so many useless things, you know? Because they're not useless. Each has a purpose, and each had a joy in being created by the infinite allness. And we are the infinite allness. Okay. An emotionally sick person avoids reality at any cost. They will not stand up for what we would understand to be the truth. Now, is our culture reality? Is our ethics and our morals reality? No. What is reality is an indwelling sense of right and wrong. Not wrong so much, but of right. An indwelling sense of knowing that which is the correct thing to do. And it's not correct by the standards of the world, it's correct by what is going to benefit you. What are you going to benefit by doing what is called the correct thing to do? What you're going to benefit by it is by you're going to have a life that's filled with harmony, happiness, and goodness on the relative plane. And I assure you, you're on the relative plane. You are not acting like ascended masters, which you are, but you're acting like relative beings, like you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the moment will come when you will start acting like ascended masters, which you are, and poof, the relative plane will have no longer an existence for you. You will no longer be touched by anything that goes on in the world about you. Because you know, hey, that's a game you're playing. That's a game you're playing. Have you ever gone up to someone playing a game and they're very angry? I gotta win, I gotta win. And you say, hey, cool it, it's just a game. It's just a game. Relax. But this is so important. Relax, relax. Now say, I am peace. I am peace. I am peace. And you have them do it a couple of times. And they say, I don't know why I was so frustrated. I don't know why I was so upset. It's just a game. It's just a game. I understand that. But I play games to win, like some of Mariella's children. They're very competitive. They play games to win. And if they don't win, their day is not made. And this, of course, is something that's taught to them by their coaches and by their parents. Their parents teach them to play the game to win. Now, that doesn't always benefit them. An emotionally healthy being faces reality at any cost. Now, we have to go to the word reality. What does the word reality mean? Reality means that which for you is believable. That which for you is something that you can set your sail on, something that you can be consciously aware of and accept as something real to you. Well, what would be something that's real? Well, look at everything on the human earth, and it's transient, isn't it? It's here today and gone tomorrow. Look at everything in the universe. All physical objectivity, here today, gone tomorrow. The Big Bang Theory, stars exploding into other stars. Fascinating, dynamic, wonderful. Even us, we're changing. We're fatter, we're thinner, we're taller, we're shorter. We have good eyes, we have bad eyes, we have good hearing, we have bad hearing. All these interesting things we are. Every day. And anything that changes is not real. The real is unchangeable. Now, what can be real? What is real is the thought behind any outpicturing. The thought behind a star is a concept star. And it's just one concept star. And from that one concept star came the plethora of stars festooning the heavens. And from the one salt grain comes the many salt grains, the big clunk, the small clunk, the salt from the ocean, the salt from the Salton Sea, the salt from the desert, wherever it may be. Now, salt, if we may say so, is a principle. Salt is a principle. Now, is salt an acid or a base? Now that we should know. Because if it's an acid, it's one thing. If it's a base, it's another. Now, Epsom salts, salt water, it's oftentimes used as a cleanser. It's oftentimes used as a balancer of your stomach and other things. It's a base. It's like baking soda is a base. And now, if you were to have an acid, what would the acid do? It causes a reaction. The acid causes a reaction. The acid is something that you want to make base. You want to take away its great power and have it just be neutralized. And a base helps to neutralize an acid. So, are these things principle? Well, the principle is acid. The principle is base. The principle is neutralization. The principle is, but it has nothing to do with anything physical. Mm-hmm. Because it could be an emotional story, a psychological story, a spiritual story, or a physical story. It could be any one of those things. And it is, rightfully so, coming out of that, because that's what the principle is. The principle speaks to all things, is behind all things, is the essence of all things, but it is not anything. It is not anything. Can you imagine that? It's not anything. It is not the tree, but it's the cause. Not the cause. It is the cause, but it is not the cause. It is the principle behind tree. It is not the leaf of a tree. It's the principle behind leaf. It's not the air we breathe, but the principle behind the air we breathe. See, all these things have these principles that give them purpose. But then we go further. And we look at the illusionary world of the relative, and we say everything in the relative and everything that is the principle behind the relative is nothing in the allness. It has no substantiation in the allness. Principle, relative to relative things, as we've been just discussing them, does not exist in the allness. Can you imagine the billions of finite things that we think about? Light, light bulb, glass, tree, flower, shoe, person. That they're in the allness? The allness has everything in it, it's true, but it has no differentiation. It is undifferentiated matter, undifferentiated thinking. Now, you ask the question, and intelligently, not wisely, but intelligently, I say not wisely because I don't have the answer for you, but you ask the question, how do we come out of the allness, of the isness, as an idealization or as an ideation of part of the allness? If the allness cannot conceive of anything other than itself, how can we come out of it? I'll come up with that answer one of these days.
We don't come out.
What's that?
We don't come out.
Go on. We don't come out. What do?
We always are.
We always are, but how do we at one point express it,
yeah,
and at another point not express it? You are expressing womanhood, and you are expressing intelligence, and I'm expressing manhood, and I'm expressing intelligence, and they're both somewhat different.
Because we are making all these comparisons. And
we're making comparisons.
And speaking totally relative.
Yes, that's true.
And that makes it, and that's why we are training to be non-judgmental and untouchable and so on. We can leave this behind, then we...
That's true. When we can leave the relative behind and live in absolute awareness, we can exist in the relative world, but we'd be untouched by it.
Yeah.
But then again, when we live in the relative world, being absolute, then we also know that there is no separation.
Right. There is,
you know. Yeah. So if there is no separation, because then, without judgment and without possession, you really are all.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Well, intellectually, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, intellectually, we're ready for this sort of stuff. But you see, that's why an emotionally healthy being faces reality at any cost. And as you say, intellectually, we can conceive of this as being. But we are, unfortunately, emotionally sick, and we're avoiding reality at all costs. We realize the moment we touch base with our divine self, the moment we touch base with our reality, we will no longer be humans. We will no longer be subject to the human limitations. Mm-hmm. And we will no longer have the relationships to our parents, our friends, that's very meaningful to us. And that is tough. Katerina, she says, I don't want to lose my humanity. And I understand that. And though she stayed with us to train in losing her humanity, the minute she had a chance to get her humanity back, she took it with great enthusiasm. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But it just shows we really aren't ready to step away from humanity and step into our divinity. Because to step into our divinity means one thing. We are no longer touched by anything. We're no longer possessed by anything. We're no longer making judgments by anything. We are just free spirits. Now, you've heard of free spirits. And some of them, it's just a license to do whatever you damn please, you know. And that's not what we're talking about. Free spirits that we're talking about are people who are not inhibited by the relative world. They live in the consciousness that there is an absolute awareness and that it does have untouchability and non-possession and non-judgment. It does have that. And that is a rare and a wonderful thing. And it's something that deserves a lot more attention. And we'll be giving it a lot more attention. But it takes a lot of deep thinking, and you can't dash through it, you know, like a house on fire. Because if you do, you'll miss the little subtleties that give it strength, that give it purpose, that give it meaning. And we don't want to do that. We want to go slow quickly and pick up everything we can. And then discard it all because we're everything. I love you.
I love you.
Yourself a wonderful evening.
I love you.